It states, I hold these facts to be evident. Although the will of the majority must prevail in all cases, the will of the minority is also to be taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that is a quote from, I think it was...
Abraham Lincoln?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's one of the early founding fathers, and I admit I've quoted probably a little inaccurately.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Etc. Although the will of the majority must prevail in all cases, the minority, etc. Something else for you to edit and look up. But that is not practiced in the United Nations. The country that preaches it the most does not practice it in the United Nations.
No, because they have too much power.
Right. It is, unfortunately, should be one vote, one country.
Yeah, but it isn't.
That is correct. Okay. It's time for me to depart.
Okay, thanks. Right.
You're welcome. Live long, prosper, and I'll be back.
Some food for thought tonight. But it has patriotism.
Hi, baby.
Hey.
Patriotism and loyalty has gone down the tube.
I think you did that very well.
What's the matter?
I'm all. He's doing very well.
He's pretty sharp.
Yeah, he's always sharp.
Yeah.
So sharp he could cut and set.
But we got off on a tangent tonight.
Yeah, I think you probably manipulated the conversation, actually.
Oh,
I'm all dead.
Oh, we're on a tangent at all. We're right on the exact same thing where we started with Jerry.
Yeah.
So I have had 3 good weeks.
No, of course you do.
Bummer. I have to do something about that.
You're doing just fine.
Yes, you are.
You want me to take Mark's underwear off and put them on his head?
Does Mark want you to take his underwear off and put them on his head? It's a better question.
Sorry. Run that by me again.
Does Mark want you to take his underwear off and put him on his head?
Yes.
No. No.
Better not.
Oh. Behave yourself.
Hey, I've got to have my fun.
I know.
Okay. I think I've been given the job as ring mistress.
Okay.
It's been thrust upon me.
Looks like you've been doing it quite well.
I think
you're doing
so
just fine.
Mm-hmm. Back from I get fidgety. Okay. Notice I'm using Kia's format, actually.
That's working quite well.
Uh-huh, it did work. Hi.
Hi, sweetie.
Hey, hello. How's it going?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing good. Much better than last week. Much better than last week.
Well, yeah, you sound more or less dragging.
Uh-huh. I'm more lucid and aware of my faculties. I will make myself available to discuss.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
In your few years,
uh-huh,
have you seen the disintegration of a society like's happened in our 3D world?
I've seen far worse. I've seen far, far worse.
No, What I'm trying to get at is, I believe in my own mind that ours is just starting.
I would say from what I have been able to see and from what I've heard and what I've been having access to, I would say, yes, you are just starting. I've seen far, far worse.
Well, that comes with being a soldier.
Mm-hmm. We have a job to do.
You've got a job to perform.
We took an oath.
No matter which side you're on, you still have a job to do.
Yes.
When you swear an allegiance or take an oath,
mm-hmm,
but that would be a UN force with the oath keepers.
In essence, yes, we are like your United Nations. I'm not that familiar with it, so I'm not going to say what I think I know about it, because it's probably totally inaccurate. But, yeah, our purpose is to go in and make sure that the world survives. We took an oath thousands of years ago as a group of people from Syria to defend the sister worlds, to protect them from any harm that may befall them. When we join and we finish our training, we take that exact same oath. And part of the oath is that if by losing our lives we can save or protect or aid in the advancement of the sister worlds, then we die willingly. We cease to be for the fulfillment of our oaths. You see, oaths are very important. Yeah, regardless of what dimension you are. If you give your oath, your word, your honor, nothing else matters.
See, that's something that's fallen by the wayside in this world.
If I stand up and say, I promise, I swear I will do it, I have to do it, regardless of what it is, even if it means my destruction, even if it means that I cease to be in this physical form, even if it affects the life of my child, I have to fulfill that oath. I promise. I swear. I oblige myself. My freedom is now gone. I have willingly given up that freedom to fulfill an oath. It's not for everybody. It's definitely not for everybody. I can think of numerous people that the mere concept of losing their freedom would be more horrific than losing an arm or a leg. But it is something that is very, very important. Oaths are something that are necessary to be fulfilled.
Seems like that's one of those things that would help you through in sixth dimension, though. Mm-hmm. And especially the commitment that you're making as far as dedicating your life to protecting people you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a concept that Skip said has fallen by the wayside down here.
Yes, it has.
It's a very important one. Mm-hmm. To have that...
In fact, a person's word in this time and era on this planet mm-hmm. has got to the point of where it's almost non-existent.
It means nothing.
You have to have it in writing
mm-hmm.
or it's no good.
Mm-hmm. But with us, it is who you are. If you give an oath, even those people that are very much opposed to giving a promise or an oath, they will fulfill, if they have to promise, they will fulfill that promise and that obligation, mm-hmm. even to the point of if it costs them dearly. And it is something that is very, very important. An oath is more important than anything else. Even the life of yourself, my unborn child, my bondmate, my friends, my comrades, it's more important than that.
Yeah, it is. Because your word is you.
Mm-hmm. It's who I am. And as the oath keeper, yeah, I cannot say I promise to do something. I cannot say I swear I'll do something because I'm already taken. I have given my solemn word. I have taken an oath, and that has precedence above all else. I cannot give another oath. I cannot give another promise until my oath is expired. And I took an oath for no less than 300 cycles, 300 years. I have the opportunity to renew at the end of the time, but 300 years is a long time.
Yes, it is.
And the sad thing is that not many oath keepers see that. Yeah, we have a very high rate of oath keepers that fulfill their oaths prematurely.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's also a lot of oath keepers that continue after the 300 years. They renew, re-up their oath for another 100 years or 200 years mm-hmm. or 300 years.
Does it make it any easier to give fulfilling these oaths when you do see what you do see when the worlds you go to.
Sometimes it's very, very hard.
Isn't there also a, besides the Oath Keepers, is there a diplomatic side?
No, they have to work out back themselves.
Now, what about planets that actually have a belief in Ashtar Command, an understanding of them, of other races?
Very few do. And besides, we are not part of Ashtar Command.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Are you serious?
Correct. So it's irrelevant whether or not they have a belief in Ashtar Command. Those worlds that do aren't a problem, though.
No, okay, drama.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, golly.
So how is it your limited lighter duties now?
My duties aren't that light. The only thing that I'm not allowed to do is to go on exercise or to participate in combative sports.
Hmm.
And I really don't feel like running. So that pretty much means all I do is walk and sit behind my desk, make my inspections, and study. In fact, not being able to exercise or participate in combative sports has made me to catch up with some interesting studies that I've always had difficulty with.
Ballistics?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Working very hard on that. My max has improved.
Excellent. Glad to hear.
I didn't know that you could, if you're launching a long-range ballistic missile, use the rotation of the planet to give it that extra kick.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
No, nice to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We've always done that.
Depends also on the location that you're firing from.
Yeah.
Yeah. For example, if the planet is spinning this way, you launch your missile, right? As it spins away, it means that then you use less fuel to launch it because the planet is turning away from it and it's already entering mm-hmm. its trajectory, which means that you use less fuel. And you can make it travel further if you have the same amount of fuel. And you can get to the target quicker.
That's what they talk about. Have you ever heard them talk about windows?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that some kind of computer system?
No, no, no. Yeah, it is now. But, I mean, I'm talking about flight control windows.
Oh.
They can go through windows. You don't have as much friction on account of the rotation of the planet, mm-hmm. and if you hit the window correctly, mm-hmm. it gives you that extra boost.
Mm-hmm.
Same actually, thing coming back in.
I'm actually studying at the moment the long-range projectile interplanetary, for example, attacking a planet that is quite some way away, getting into the real heavy mass.
We haven't quite progressed that far yet.
Well, we've landed on moons, so. Yeah. And we're landing them on Mars. So we've progressed that far.
You're talking if you hit within 20 miles of the target, you're doing good. I'm talking within one or two units over such a great distance.
Mm-hmm. Tricky stuff.
Oh, it's a lot of fun, too. I'm also currently staying. Studying some interesting battlefield strategies from the... never mind, I can't go into details. I'm just about to start blabbing about Syrian battle tactics, but I can't discuss that.
No.
Okay. You
might study some of our ancient generals, too.
I have. Hadrian, Caesar, Ramesses...
Some of them were pretty sharp.
Mm-hmm. Alexander, Napoleon, Rommel. I could sit here and go on naming generals. Yeah, I can discuss the Carthaginian Wars, which I've studied, Macedonian Wars. I can talk about Philip II of Macedonia. Do you know who Philip of Macedonia was?
Mm-mm.
Do you know who he was father of?
Alexander the Great.
Yeah. I can sit and pontificate all day about battles. I can talk about, I can't remember the location, but there's a famous battle with Ramesses II in, I forget, something like 14-something, against, I think it was the Hittites or somewhere in that area, where he got ahead of his main force and he's got a small patrol with him. Well, not a small patrol, but I think it was like one-third of his army, and he was attacked by the Hittites. What he thought was a small patrol turned out to be their whole entire army, and his bravery and audacity saved a possible massive defeat, and his own life turned it into what the Egyptians claimed was a victory. In actual fact, it was a stalemate.
Well, you had a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Studied that battle and realized that a lot of it was luck. A lot of it was luck.
A lot of battles were luck.
Mm-hmm.
Rain or air cover or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe on your planet, they're luck.
Mm-hmm.
We have. But put it this way, as a student, when I play a war game, I have to have at least 6 possible strategies for each possible scenario. And in a war game, it won't be one scenario. They will have as many as 12 different scenarios that can phase in at any time. And I've got to have them in writing plus memorized.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's heavy.
Oh, it is heavy. Gives me headaches. I've only actually ever won one war game. And I've played a lot. I've had quite a few stalemates. But I've only ever won one. So I'm not the best student in the world. In fact, actually in my class, I'm probably in the bottom 15. But I try. But you have a famous general that was actually, I think, like the bottom of his class, that went on to be quite famous, but should never have been famous. He was foolish and stupid.
Patton?
No, Custer.
Oh, Custer.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I was studying his famous Battle of Little Bighorn. Do you know how lucky he was not to lose his whole entire force?
No.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't lose his whole entire force.
No, he didn't lose his whole entire command.
He lost one third.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in.
Oh, that's quite all right. Captain Reno was wise in hunkering down, but also remiss in his duty and his oath. He failed to fulfill his oath and duties.
Went back up as commanding officer?
Mm-hmm. That was very foolish and miss. Okay, I've got to depart. I need to take care of a few things, and Curie's going.
Thank
oh, she's going by. Okay, bye. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. Okay, how much time do we have left on the recording?
Time for one more. How's it going?
It's going good.
Good to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, where were we?
Car.
Oh, car.
Yes. Where were we? Oh, yes. Okay. We're working on education, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have some questions?
Yes, actually. On the education of small ones.
Mm-hmm.
To get a good start, especially in the psychic fields, besides just the academic stuff,
mm-hmm.
but being able to work with them in improving their gifts. We don't have set doctrine down here for that.
Yeah.
Nothing accepted anyway. And so working on our own, what would be some good techniques for teaching the young from a very young age?
Well, first of all, you teach them by example. You show them what can be done. For example, we have a current problem with gas, amongst other things. Okay, what you do is you place your hands in the stomach, right, and rub gently. and talk and use your voice. Like, remember that you have to speak in a soft, soothing tone, but speak as if you're speaking to an adult, not as if you are talking to an inanimate object of doing the kuchi ku, raising the octaves of the voice and behaving in a manner that is foolish. Because by doing that, the child perceives that as the way to respond. Yeah, by a person talking in a silly, high-pitched tone, yeah, the child thinks that that is correct, instead of learning that people talk in a particular way. You can talk in a soft, soothing tone, telling the child that it will feel better and the energy flowing into its stomach will calm the gases of the bubbling. Word it in a way that is soft and soothing. And the tone in the voice, yeah, will get the attention and the child focus. And what you're doing is being very, very open. You are using your voice, which is a tool of healing. You're using your hands, which are a tool of healing. And you are showing by doing that action that you can heal. The energy flow coming from the hands flows into the stomach. The child feels that. So by creating the three events, the soothing tone, the soothing action of the hand, and the energy flow, you are healing and showing how to heal.
Excellent.
As the child ages and progresses, what you do is you take the hand, if it is suffering from gas, you do the circular motion, and you send your energy into your hand that has their wrist, and you flow it into their wrist, and you flow it in with the correct flow that it flows into their hand. And it pulls their energy in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with other abilities, what you do is you sit the child down, and at an infant age, you sit with the child in your lap or in your arm, and you meditate. But you meditate, you generate the field around you of sincerity, of harmony, and relaxation. There must be, at the time, no external distractions. As you meditate, you can rock your arms. The child may even fall asleep. But in your meditative state, you project, let us say you're working on manifestation, images. A child in its relaxed state, in very open state, to an infant stage, will pick up on those thoughts. So therefore, you start the learning process and the teaching process. As the child gets over, you take a moment, first of all 5 minutes, and the child sits down and learns to be patient. And for 5 minutes, it sits and meditates. And at the end of the 5 minutes, it, for example, if again we're working on manifestation, draws what it has seen. As the child gets over, the time increments are increased. And use things like Play-Doh to build, as the child gets older, what it's seen. So in time, you're using the manifestation, even though the child is manifesting with the hands, objects, by building or drawing or writing. You are increasing its manifestation capability. As the child gets older and the linguistic ability improves and the cognitive thought process improves, you use all three. One day you would draw. The following day you may create with Play-Doh. And the following day you write, describe. And you, especially with the writing, you keep the writing so that you can review and see what the improvements are. Now, with astral travel, what has been done in the past, is first of all the relaxation technique, very similar to the manifestation technique. Sit down, relax for 5 minutes, and dwell within oneself. But as the child grows older, you take the child and you have little gifts that the child must look for in the astral form. And when the child locates it in the astral form, and the child only gets one opportunity, the child will go and get the object. If it is up high where the child cannot reach, which is the best bet, then the child takes you by the hand, leads you to, let us say, it is a 25-cent piece, and you have put it all on top of the bookcase. Takes you by the hand, takes you to the bookcase, pick the child up, the child reaches up and tells you if it's in the corner, if it's on top, whereabouts on top, and it has to reach up and put its hand and take it. It can feel around, but once you take it to where it has to go, even if it is, you know, checking the wrong end, then yeah, accuracy is important.
What about telepathy?
Telepathy. Okay, telepathy. And that again is when you meditate and start off with the child in the infant level in your arms. You can talk to the child. At first, it's not going to listen because it's not going to recognize. But it is important to talk in a soothing tone in your mind, telling the child how strong it's going to be, where it's going. As a child gets older, and it's always important never to talk in a childlike way to a child, because if you talk in a childlike way, it will mimic. It will copy. It must be as an adult to a younger person. Patiently, intelligently. Because if you talk in a childlike way, then that's what it's going to learn to behave like. And that's going to stay with it throughout its life. We've seen many examples of that.
All right. So I guess the only other ability we haven't covered is psychokinesis.
Psychokinesis is a very tricky field. Very tricky. And I don't think it's something that we need to worry about at this time. Okay? And coercion, I'm not going to touch because that's Kiri's field of expertise. And if I say something, she's liable to turn around. And if I say something wrong, she's liable to butt in. We don't want that right.
All right, we'll save that for next week. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. But that's something that has to be handled very gently anyway.
Oh, very gently.
And children have their own ability of coercion to start with as it is.
Right, and Skip's being very quiet.
I'm just listening.
Mm-hmm.
I learn more now.
Yeah, it is always wise to listen. Treebeard was listening. He's now sitting very upright, with his back to a very large bamboo plant. His mouth is wide open, and I believe he is in a state of dormancy.
Okay. Well, communion with nature.
Yes, in a vocal way, the...
All right, well, that's a good thing to start working with anyway. And it's good for the webpage, too.
People, yes.
No matter how old you are always important things you can learn from that.
Well, I believe that that little dissertation should go in the how-to section.
Raising them, absolutely.
What we can do is we can take... Next week, we will start off with healing for children.
Okay.
And we will start off with... 1 week to 1 year. And then we would do 1 year to 3 years. And then we would do 3 years to 6 years. And by that point, it then becomes a matter of practice and learning more about anatomy, learning more about the energy flux. The end of, like, 6 years should have the basics to be able to heal, not everything, but to be able to know what to do in certain situations, and then it becomes a matter of learning. Well, yeah, physiology, so that you know to apply pressure in a certain place to create a certain amount of healing or pain or certain situations.
Excellent. I think it would work.
But the early stages are definitely the most important, because you are instilling a belief factor at that point. A lot of problems that I've seen with people that have attended channeling sessions is disbelief that it can be done. It can be healed.
Well, everyone's on a path. Mm-hmm. Some people just take longer to get along the path.
Mm-hmm. Some just get stuck and don't proceed.
Right.
But that is their learning lesson. I know what you're saying, because I can see in your mind.
Right.
But I'm also saying that, yes, it is happening right in this room. The increase in room temperatures, the decrease in room temperatures. Yet they're all, why? Instead of saying, well, something happened, I don't understand it, so therefore it didn't happen. Even though you have the physical evidence, for example, the headache or the feeling of euphoria or the feeling of suddenly going from very tired to energized. Yeah, those are examples.
But all can be explained away.
In any innumerable ways. Anything can be explained away.
Hmm.
Yeah, sure.
Anything can. But with the information that you have, for example, you come into a room, you sit down, you're listening to a very dull and boring conversation in your perception, for example, tribute, the next person comes on and really doesn't hold your interest, but yet all of a sudden you